Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the 2021 season wrap-up podcast. Is that what we're calling this?
Man, that's sad if this is the end of the season, but it feels like it.
Yeah, so we have had a pretty adventurous, activity-filled 2 weeks, right?
Yes, it has been. I'm coming down from the rush back to the real world, recording this Wednesday after TKO, and it's slapped me in the face.
Yeah, I've gotten several messages about, hey, when are you guys putting out a podcast? When are you going to have more content? It's like we're kind of in content overload right now and trying to recover from what has been a very busy weekend.
Well, and I just got over to Will's house where we're recording this, and his van is still loaded with everything from the weekend, so if that tells you anything.
Luckily, my van only smells like gasoline right now and not sweaty, nasty, moldy riding gear.
Well, and I went straight from TKO to a work conference in Chattanooga, so I left everything behind the RV in the enclosed trailer, and when I opened it up last night, it was bad.
So it was just baking in there?
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's been raining, so.
We'll get to that, but literally when TKO ended, it started sprinkling. They did the podium. Everyone got packed up and out of there, and it has not stopped raining in the Chattanooga, Knoxville, East Tennessee area since Sunday evening.
I guess we had Tropical Storm Fred come through.
Yes, I think we got 2.5 inches. And like just seeing the pictures from the Mario and Cody clinic, oh my gosh. It would have changed everything.
Can you imagine had that hit 24 hours earlier?
No. I wouldn't have been able to get up the big hill, Sean's Hill, in the hot lap.
I wonder what they would have taken out.
I actually talked to Josh about it. He's driving back to Idaho, Josh Shecker, and he said they would have had to take that hill out. It would have been, there was two dudes stuck on it when I got there in the hot lap.
Right.
So, but we're getting way ahead. We also want to give a big shout out to SLM Racing, KTM of North Texas, because our bikes have been awesome this year. My one bike's got 74 hours on it. Where's yours at?
I'm about 55 hours.
All right. I've had zero issues out of one of my bikes. The other one that we were having all the trouble with, we got worked out, fixed. I will talk
What'd
about
you do?
That later. So it turns out that
just make it quick.
You know, I can't be quick. the TPS sensor has to be in a certain range for the computer to figure everything out. Well, it turns out we could not get it in range within the computer spec. So I think Slavens was the one to come up with it, an idle screw on it, which basically tilts the butterfly a little bit.
Mm.
And it tricked the computer or made the computer think the TPS was where it should be. Fixed all of my problems. I thought there's no way it's going to happen. It made it work.
So did you do a TPS report and get that turned in?
I did. And I found my stapler.
Good.
All right. So we're going to back up. We never did an official Battle of the Goats. We did a little quick recap with some interviews from Battle of the Goats.
Yeah, we had some interviews and then I just kind of recapped. It was like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And Tyler had sent me a message. He's like, hey, you know, are y'all ever going to do a real Battle of the Goats podcast? So we'll just do a bunch of little ones.
Yeah, this may be a long one because we've got that. We had after Battle of the Goats, I took the week off work. We had a bunch of guys staying in Knoxville.
The boys
stayed in Knoxville. We had, let's see, three of the top four overall from Battle of the Goats stayed in Knoxville. We were riding with them, plus a bunch of other dudes.
A bunch of dudes that made top 25, not including Drew and I, because we didn't make top 25.
No, Battle of the Goats was hard.
Well, I meant for TKO, but...
Oh, yes, that too.
Yeah, so we had a bunch of dudes ride with us, so we'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about... Well, also, we want to thank Motolab Dirt Bike Suspension, Rob Kosler.
Yes, and I have got to make a visit to him. That bike, I said, has 74 hours on it, has never had the suspension serviced, and
yeah.
I'm a little bit embarrassed. I talked to him about it this weekend, and I tried to get it in when it had like 60 hours, and he was headed to Michigan for the Michigan 6 Days Enduro or something. So yeah, it's going to be getting torn apart it's still in the trailer. I haven't unloaded the bikes out of the trailer yet.
Yeah. Mine's still in my van and maybe I can take them down and you pick them up or vice versa.
That sounds like a plan.
Rob, we're coming to see you soon.
Yeah. But so if you guys are in the Chattanooga area or anywhere for that matter, I know you can ship it in and Motolab will take care of you.
For sure. So Tyler Moles, Battle of the Goats at Brushy Mountain Motorsports Complex in Taylorsville, North Carolina, happened last weekend, and it pretty much featured all the best American riders.
Yeah, and it was weird because of Romaniacs, they pushed it back a weekend, Battle of the Goats, and so it was the week before TKO, which also helped get more guys in. And it was epic. And then after Tough Like Roar was so hard, I think Tyler kind of took the gloves off and threw some more stuff at us.
Yeah, he heard that Tough Like Roar was now the hardest race in the U.S. And he was like, I'll fix that.
Yeah, and it was, honestly, I didn't see the whole course. I mean, I made it to checkpoint three barely and then called it a day. And it, what we saw was good. The pros, it'd be interesting to see how many pros finished two full laps. You could probably look at that and tell me.
I don't have the official Battle of the Goats. I have the results pulled up, but I don't. They're just in the overall pro championship for the AMA Kenda Extreme Enduro Championship, round 10.
I'm showing eight riders did two full laps. Quinn Winsell, is either Quinn? No, it was Logan Balapu was the last rider to finish. I think he came over with like 30 seconds left.
Well, and Quinn, it was a big question whether or not how injured Quinn was. So we were all back at the start area or the finish area waiting for Quinn to get back, including his mom, Diane. She was worried to death. There had been rumors floating around that he was badly injured.
Yeah, we thought I'd heard he got a foot. He was still good. The biggest problem was he was out of gas, and so they were trying to find gas.
And he was smoked.
Yeah, and he was dying.
But like the rest of us.
Oh, man, it was hot. So Battle of the Goats last year, for the first year, went to a two-day event, Saturday prologue, and then everyone who makes it, I can't remember the number, maybe 175.
Yeah, I think you had to make two laps.
Yeah, you just had to finish. Excuse me, you just had to finish.
Was it about a 4 mile course?
Yeah, 3 to 4 mile course. You just had to finish two laps on that, and then anyone who could do that within the allotted time moved on to Sunday. Tyler said, "Hey, if you can finish this, I'm gonna let you have a shot at it." So, in years past, he had one race with splits for the pro and the A guys, and a lot of guys wanted to run it all. So he said, "All right, we'll do a little prologue. You finish this, you're worthy into the main event." And I think some guys got more than they wanted.
Well, I think we're still talking about the prologue. Sure. It kind of had three sections. It had the enduro cross track.
Yes, the enduro cross track.
What, chicken fight hill?
Chicken fight hole.
Chicken fight hole.
It may have been hill.
And then the rocky uphill creek that was a little bit slick.
Oh, Graham's Ravine or Graham's Gulch, yes.
Yeah, so.
And I remember the first year we ran it, was in the hurricane. And that was the hardest part of the entire course, and we rode up it like it was nothing in the hot lap prologue qualifying.
Yeah, I was looking back on that, and I disagree. Remember where we met Jarrett up in that hill?
Yeah, but that was the second year.
Okay, so that wasn't in the first year.
No, the first year, as soon as you made it out of that gulch, you went right back to the bottom, because they cut the course in half the first year because it was so wet. So that was good the call. Year.
Okay.
I had a little bit of a memory.
Well, my memory is shot, apparently. All right, so really those three sections and then good single track trail in between, you know, some kind of hard stuff, but, mm-hmm. you know, it was for the top guys, I think it was like a 15-minute lap.
Yeah, sounds about right. There's been so much happened since then. Sorry for not being a little more detailed.
Right. So skip to Sunday.
Props to Tyler. 8 a.m. start on Sunday, 6-hour race. So
clicked it right off on time.
On time. And again, you know, we're racing till 2 o'clock, but that gives us time to get done, get packed up.
And it's not so freaking hot when you start. That helps.
Yeah, also a good point.
It's nice to start out and your goggles aren't immediately full of sweat.
Yeah, no doubt. But so let's back up before we go to Sunday. Saturday was so dry, so dusty.
Oh, yeah.
And we just kept saying, we could use a little rain, but not so much. And we got there. I think I got there Friday. You got there. Did you get there Friday?
Friday.
Late?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. So anyway, so we walked a bunch of stuff and someone's like, you need to go look at this hill called Little Romaniacs. And apparently we came down it one year and I have no recollection.
Oh, I remember coming down it.
But it's one of those hills that you're standing on the Jeep road looking straight up and like, you can't see the top. You think maybe you can see the top, but mm-mm. I was like, this is going to end some people's days. And if it rains,
foreshadowing,
there may be no getting up. And below it, like we're standing on this roadbed, below it was like, you had to do this off camber that had no lines burned in. And if it rained, I was like, I may not get up to the roadbed. And what did it do?
It rained about, okay, Saturday we did the prologue. Yep. It was dry. It was dusty. It was nasty.
I was amazing traction. I could do stuff I didn't think I could.
And I was actually in Nick Ferringer's van talking to him about Romaniacs.
What were y'all doing in there?
We were talking about Romaniacs.
Uh-huh. Did he have clothes on?
He put clothes on.
Okay, just checking.
And then it just started sprinkling.
We heard the thunder for a long time.
Yeah, and then Drew and I think we went and got generator gas.
Yeah.
And it just opened up.
We kept saying, all right, we're good. If we just have 10 more minutes, like maybe 20, 30 minutes of this, it would be awesome.
3 hours later.
It rained for 2.5 hours. Hard.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it rained 3 inches. I have no official documentation of that.
It was one of those, like, at first it was good, it was absorbing it, and then the more it rained, the more you saw, like, the rivers running down the road.
And Blake took a shower under his awning.
Yes.
Because it was raining so hard.
Yeah, it was quite entertaining to see him out there soaking up in the absolute downpour.
Right. So, we thought that was going to just destroy the course on Sunday.
We really did.
But it wasn't that bad.
No, it was bad. But it did not make it unrideable, I think.
It was like the top layer was pretty muddy, yep. But you got down to that dust pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty quick.
And I think it almost made it chunk up more and made it rougher. Does that make sense?
I would agree.
So some of those hills that you thought there would be kind of a smooth line, there were no smooth lines. It was just really, really rough.
Yeah, and it...
What I'm saying probably didn't make any sense.
No, but it was hard. Tyler made it hard. There was the usual, like, DeLuva's bypass.
AHE waterfall.
Chicken fight hole, which was in the prologue.
Chutes and ladders was super easy this year, I thought.
Well, I mean, we've ridden it enough now that we know the AHE waterfall. So my first encounter with Battle of the Bees was at the top of the AHE waterfall. And he added the section above it. Like, we used to do a couple pivot turns and get out of there. Now you kind of ease up the creek, nothing major. But then you have to do this right turn, cross the creek, and go up like 40, 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with Chance Baker at this point. Him and I got up the waterfall, the lower part together. And he just went right up it. And I'm like, I just had a trouble. I didn't make it. Turned around. Came back down. Didn't make it again. Well, all of a sudden, I can't remember what rider pulls up. I don't make it. I'm sliding down on my butt. I have my left arm out. I'm thinking I'm good, and all of a sudden my bike comes and just lands on my arm. And boom. I'm like, this is it, I'm done. So luckily, I think Quinn Dickey, maybe, is his name. He's an A-rider. Super nice guy, big guy. Ran up there, pulled my bike off of me, figured out that I was okay. So at that point, he says, ow. I said, what was it? He goes, I just got stung by a bee.
Mm.
And so where you had to go back and turn around, there was a log. And I had to put my foot right on that log to get set.
So you started it.
Somebody did, but so I went down there, and it's amazing how motivated you can get to get up a hill when there's bees stinging you. So that was my first encounter.
Well, at the same spot, I went up I didn't look far enough ahead, so I kind of went halfway up the hill, turned left.
Oh man!
And then I got over to the left and tried to pivot back to the right. Ended up in a pickle, and Jarrett Moan followed me into the same spot.
Oh, good friend you are.
Yeah. So we ended up stuck there. Went back down. And another guy pulled up. I'm sorry, I don't remember who you were, but he kind of fell over in the beehive, was getting stung.
Holy cow.
So I had to go down there to pivot back around. And when I did that, I was probably within 15 feet of the beehive, and they got me.
Yeah.
So I think I got probably 8 or 10 stings.
And it was Nick Nadukovich, and he was there because, again, Chance left me. I think JoJo was there. He was gone. Nick got there, and he said he got stung a couple times. He said, man, I'm allergic to these.
That's not good.
No, he goes... Well, as long as they don't get me in the neck and the head. And I'm just thinking, they're everywhere.
They stung me on the back of the neck. And oddly enough, those hurt the least or hurt long-term the least of any of the stings I got. I don't know if there's fewer nerve endings on your neck or what.
I got one under my armpit, and it hurt for days. And I actually got stung there the next week, almost in the same spot. So anyway, we got up that, got motivated, and it was actually pretty gnarly above that. You had to do a couple more switchback pivot turns.
Yep.
After that.
that's where I was riding along. I made it up the hill, then I kind of waited for Jarrett. Jarrett made it up the hill, and then we were going along, and I just hear yelling and screaming behind me. So I stop, turn around, look, and Jarrett is tumbling down the hill.
Oh, no.
Like full-on Chris Farley, whatever movie that was.
Yep.
And so I throw my bike down and run back, and luckily, a tree caught Jarrett by the ribs. Like he was.
That luckily? Are you sure?
That, I said it, I don't know, facetiously.
Okay.
So I'm like, do you need a medic? Is all I could think to say. And he was like, no. And he was just kind of grumbling and whatever. And I'm like, I don't know if I can help you. I'm too weak right now. He's like, go on.
Oh, and this was still at that same hill?
Yeah. Well, it was above the hill.
Oh, okay.
Where it got super
yep.
off camber. It was kind of benched in.
Yep.
And he just fell off.
Well, so we got up there, and then you get kind of to the highest point, and you have to go off camber back down towards the old trail.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Vina, A-rider, I don't know what happened. He washed the front end out. And so his bike was laying kind of in the trail. Well, Nick Nadukovich, thinking he's superhero,
mm-hmm.
well, he was slowly trying to go around him. Well, his foot peg or something hooked Ronnie's rear fender, falls over on top of Ronnie. His bike and him fall over on top of Ronnie. And it was just, you know, one of those sorry bro moments. And I was like, should I just go around both of them? And I was like, y'all just get your stuff together. I'm going to take a break.
Yeah, sometimes that's necessary.
Yeah, but so, but I don't even know where else to go. So I guess Chance and I spent most of the day together. Some with JoJo.
Chance Baker.
Chance Baker, the horsepower maker. him on the Sherca. But anyway, we got to, I thought I was in Hell's Hollow. And I was like, man, I'm already to Hell's Hollow. This is awesome.
No.
And we're just going up this thing. I'm like, I swear we came into it differently. And we keep going. We keep going. The next thing I know, we're at the bottom section of Little Row Maniacs.
Yep.
And it was, I made actually a pass on a guy on a TM, Ryan. I don't know how to say his last name. Gajiva, maybe. Let's go with that. And then passed Chance. And then we got up there. And JoJo was up there trying to push out. And I think me, JoJo, and Chance helped each other on that off camber to get up to the Jeep Road.
Right.
Yeah.
So and that's probably when I pulled up to the midsection of Little Row Maniacs, when y'all were halfway up. I could see y'all up there. I was at the bottom.
Was this when we were on the roadbed or up on the Little Row Maniacs Hill?
Up there, on the hill.
Okay, so this was just the bottom. So okay, we get up there, sorry. And we're there. Chuck DeLula, DeLula Racing Team's there. They're all yelling. Cody's mechanic, Tristan's mechanic, or I don't think Robbie was there. But anyway, needless to say, that's where we were going to get lapped. So I was the last one to start of the three of us. So I needed to get back in the main line. I hear something coming. I kind of push out of the way, and here comes Tristan. And he is on the gas. And apparently, him and Ryder, and maybe Cody.
Not Cody.
Cody didn't do it. They went straight to the top, like up that gut. They didn't turn left and side hill over.
Apparently, Tristan ghost rode his bike very violently over the top of that.
Yep.
And everybody was like, oh my God, he's done.
Yeah.
And then Ryder came over and ghost rode his bike very gently.
Yep.
Just kind of laid it over.
Yeah. So here comes Tristan. Well, I threw my bike down, trying to get out of the way. And I was like, I'm going to go help him because I'm in the way. He turned left and went above me.
Don't touch my bike, Drew.
And kept going. Went over the log and out. And I was like, huh. And so then it was just impressive. So obviously we were waiting on Cody. The crowd had said it was Tristan, Cody, and then Ryder was kind of the running order at that moment. So Tristan comes by. We get on up the hill. People are just trying the upper part of Little Row Maniacs over and over. I didn't want to get in the way and try it when those guys are coming. So I think I tried it a couple times. Ended up flipping my bike upside down against a tree, which was amazing. Patsy was not there to get a picture.
That's when you got way on up there, right?
No, that was just
down at the bottom.
Trying to get out of that root ball hole. And once you could get above that, then that's when you started the zigzagging. Mm-hmm. So got back down. Cody showed up, made it. Ryder showed up. And then Ryder kind of inspired me to hit it way harder and with way more throttle and clutch. And, of course, he made it. He got three-quarters of the way, reset, and then made it the rest of the way. It was impressive.
So once you reset and hit it harder, how far up did you make it?
So I made it out of the big. You went kind of up, and then you went up to the right, dropped down, and I actually dropped down and stopped and put it in second gear, wide open, and then made it up above where I flipped it upside down. There's, like, one tree if you could get up above, you could reset.
Yeah.
And then there was this rock you kind of backed up to, and then there was a beehive, Jackson's Beehive, on a rock. And you had to go around it, and it had gotten rutted out. And Russell Loudermilk actually caught us there. But me, JoJo, and Jarrett Moen had actually caught us at this point, helped each other to get above that. And then once I got above that and got them up, that was where Ryder did this big sweeper and went way high and then up to the last rock section. And I got really far up there and was able to get out.
Nice. Well, my day didn't go so good there. I made several attempts. Ended up basically taking all my clothes off except for my you know, bottom part of my torso.
Was this while attempting or in between attempts?
Between attempts.
Okay.
You know, tried to cool down a bit. I think this was after I made it. I feel like I made it a good one-third up the hill, and I got to a certain spot where I was helping some guys, and then they didn't help me back. And
it's very frustrating.
I got pissed, and I was like, I'm going to the bottom, and I'm going to show them what's up. I'm going to blow by them. This could be amazing. I never made it back that far up.
well, what's funny is I don't know the guy's name. We rode back and forth, and when I did that last big, like, sweeping S-turn, I kind of ran over part of his bike. But I said, I'm going to try to get as close as I can. He said, do whatever you want. So then I made it. I looped back around, got up to this rock thing, and then my bike fell over on top of a rock. That's the picture Patsy got of me upside down. I'm sitting on the rock having, like, life thoughts. I looked down in the dirt. I'm like, there's a piece of plastic here. And I like dust it off. It was Cody Webb's heart rate monitor. Like the part that clips onto the strap.
Give it back to him?
I actually gave it to Patsy. And then we found out later and they were like, Cody Webb lost it. So we ended up giving him his heart rate monitor back.
That's random.
So then the whole point of the story, the guy that I kind of bounced off of gets up below me. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get up this last little rocky spot. And he goes, all right, man, I'll help you if you swear you will not leave me and you will help me. And I'm like, have people been doing that? Like,
I need you to sign a contract.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. So, of course, he helped me. I helped him. And then we went on our merry way. And it was good to get to the top of that hill. And then I went down. And then I was at the bottom of it was the hill that you and I met on last year when Cody and Tristan lapped us.
Yep.
And it was the hill below Milk Run. And in my head, we'd been out there 3.5 hours. Jarrett and I are goofing off together. I'm like, I'm quitting. I'm done. The next checkpoint is the top of Hell's Hollow. I don't think I can make it. So Jarrett and I get to the top. We ride all the way to the bottom of the mountain.
Back to the van?
Back to the starting line because my wife was there talking to Tyler. And Tyler said, dude, there's a checkpoint at the top of Milk Run.
Nice.
And I'm like, we were right there below it. So long story short, I convinced Jarrett to go back up there. And then we proceeded to see JoJo, Russell Loudermilk, Keith Curtis lapped us there. We helped him get up it. And I was trying to get as far up as I could, so I was just taking shots at it. Jarrett got up and started the pushing process. He ended up beating me by 10 minutes because of that. I just was – so I lost like – we lost a good 10 spots just goofing off. But it was fun. It was good. Honestly, it's the best he's ever done there. And it was fun to just ride with him and Chance and some of the guys.
Shamefully, I don't think Jarrett's ever beat me at Battle of the Goats until now.
Yeah, you had made a point to tell him that a few times. So you got to eat a little crow. And I can't
Well, he's young.
Yeah, we'll give it that.
Right.
So, but that was my Battle of Goats. I ended at check 3, called it a day. It was an awesome event. The weather was great on Sunday. After that rain on Saturday night, it was beautiful and sunny and hot all day.
Yeah, and you probably, if you didn't know already, just from what Drew's been saying, Tristan Hart took the win by quite a bit.
Yeah, which also, I think it was 16 minutes or 13 minutes.
Over Cody Webb, and then I think another like 12 minutes or so back was Ryder LeBron.
Yep.
Who rode really awesome.
Yeah, and Colton Haker was not there. He's got Lyme disease potentially, so he missed Battle of the Goats.
Yeah, I think he's got the very beginning stages of it, so hopefully that's taken care of, and he's fine for Endurocross.
Yep.
Will Reardon, fourth place.
Yeah, it was a great ride by Will. We got a good interview with him, which we did. Will threw up in the last podcast, and it was good to hear him.
You know, I threw up in the last podcast.
You threw up on the last podcast.
I got you. Keith Curtis got fifth. Big ups to that guy. He was podium last year.
Second or third last year.
I think it was third. And then Jordan Ashburn, the GNCC KDX kid.
So when Jordan came by us, he was in fifth place. No one was close. Keith had to be 30, 40 minutes behind him. And Jordan said he just hit a wall.
He got smoked.
Yeah, and it was either Hell's Hollow or there was some gnarly off-camber that we never saw that he's like, I died on.
Then we got Quinn, Winsel, Logan Ballapiu, and then those are the only guys who make two laps.
Yep.
Then after that, Danny Lewis, Nick Farragher, Brandon Petrie, and James Flynn, then Cooper Abbott. And these are just the pro guys. There may be an A guy mixed in there. I apologize if somebody scored
better. Well, I think Jarrett Lamb jumped up there. Jared Lamb. He's been crushing it. He made I think he did a full lap. Check for it. Yeah, he did a full lap. So that would have put him up.
Yeah, he's going to have to move up.
That would put him pretty up there. Sure of it. He would have put him above Ricky Russell. So I'd have put him in 18th.
Okay.
Put him in 19th. Ricky was 19th. But it was – yeah, it was hard.
Anything else we want to say about Battle of the Goats before we wrap this thing up?
No, thank you, Tyler. It was a great event. Thank you, everyone who helped. They had a lot of guys out there working tons of water. It's always at these events. I ran out of water at the bottom of Little Romaniacs, refilled my Camelback, which saved me.
Okay, so I didn't race Tough Like Roar. I think it's a pretty big consensus that Tough Like Roar and Battle of the Goats are now the hardest U.S. races. We didn't race Silver Mountain. I've heard that one's tough, too.
Yeah.
Between Battle of the Goats and Tough Like Roar, which one's harder?
I honestly thought Tough Like Roar was harder because it was just relentless.
Don't say that. Tyler's going to
kill us. Big rocks. But I had more fun at Battle of the Goats, so I'm basing it on that, I think. It was like, Battle of the Goats was enjoyable. And again, I didn't even get to Hell's Hollow, and I didn't finish the whole loop at Tough Like Roar, so... It was cool. Tyler did take out a couple sections on the first lap that they added on the second lap to kind of move things around.
That was really good, especially off the beginning because it eliminated that bottleneck.
Yep.
Although I got to the top of Chicken Fight Hole and then the hill up above Chicken Fight Hole, and I turned up that hill because I thought that's where the trail went.
A bunch of people did. Luckily, Paul Reardon, Will's dad, was there pointing it straight, because I will say one thing Tyler did not do is, even on the prologue, they didn't put ribbons cutting off the trail.
Yeah.
And there'd be an orange arrow and a blue arrow. But so there was a little confusion
I'm
there.
I'm not smart enough to follow colored arrows, apparently.
Well, but the orange arrow was turning up the hill at that one. There should have been a ribbon across it.
Okay.
So that was not you. But no, Battle of Goats, awesome. Had fun. Always good.
I mean, it cost me at least 10 seconds.
That was it. That was what it was.
For a six-hour race.
Yeah, for a six-hour race.
Then I couldn't make it up a hill.
Yeah, it is a bad hill. Well, and I could see if there was no one around to help.
Yeah, I got stuck with nobody to help. And let's move on. I'm sick of talking about that one.
Fair enough.
All right, so then we make our way back to Knoxville.
Yep, Sunday night.
Rest day Monday / work day.
Yeah, I actually did not. I had to go work a little bit. I had a couple issues. I had to go.
And then you had Robbie stay with you?
Yeah, so Tristan's mechanic, Robbie Goolsby, was staying at the house. So when I get home from working Monday, he's got the KTM Sprinter van with everything out of it in my yard.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'll take this, I'll take that. He's like, you can't have any.
Give me those.
Yep, I'll take that. But, you know, he's got three motorcycles. It was Taylor Roberts' bike, Tristan's race bike, Tristan's practice bike. And then, of course, he has everything set up. UPS shows up early. I'm like, they never come this early. They give me this package that looks like really nice guns, and it's Ryder LeBlanc's suspension.
Okay.
So him and Chuck come over. We're sitting there kind of talking because they were in town, and the skies just open up. And so we throw up the big 10x20 KTM Easy Up over everything that Robbie's got scattered throughout my yard. But no, it was pretty cool. I had Robbie stay there Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night.
So then Tuesday morning, we met at our local riding area.
Yep.
And hit a trail that is amazing. We call it the Grotto.
Yeah, and it has changed tremendously.
We had a flash flood about a month ago.
Yep.
And it totally redid our trail, which is awesome.
Well, it was great from us because I was worried, like, in this area, we had to park in a different area. Tristan wanted to go to where we'd taken him before. And I was like, we'll do that tomorrow. So we rode Tuesday, Wednesday. Tuesday, we show up. And I'm like, hey, if it's not hard enough, we'll go find other stuff.
So who all – we had – Tuesday, we had Tristan, me, you, obviously.
Yep. Jackson Davis.
Ryder LeBlanc.
Yep.
Chuck DeLula.
Chuck DeLula. He actually got on a motorcycle and still made it up one place.
Well, apparently he trains. He just doesn't race.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, then we had Brandon Petrie.
Yep.
Will Reardon.
Tristan.
Tristan Hart. So, I mean, it was like pretty much an all-star cast.
Yeah, it was good.
And then the next day we lost Chuck.
And Jackson.
But we gained Cooper Abbott and
James Flynn.
Theodore.
Yep. Oh.
Kebekchiev.
Oh, good. You did it. Yeah, yes. So I had Theodore's bike, and he actually got in town, but his bike wasn't ready, so he spent Tuesday working on his bike. He shows up. I get a call from my wife. The house cleaner's there. She said there is some man outside wanting his motorcycle.
There's a tall foreigner.
Yes. So Robbie had gone to get lunch or something, and Theodore showed up, and he didn't have any way to communicate. No. We got him hooked up.
And he could speak English.
Yeah, he could speak very good. But he didn't have data on his phone, and he didn't have Robbie's number. So
at least he had your address.
Yeah, he did get to the house. So long story short, it all worked out, and we had him on Tuesday. But no, so we went up, and we didn't even make it to what we called the Grotto. They started on some hill climbs that were just – I had one hill that we called impossible. Nick had been up at once, so we sent Tristan up it. He didn't come back down. He's like, hey, he's turning around, come back down. Next thing we know, he's going across a cliff with probably a 20-foot drop.
I posted it on our Instagram page, yeah. So you probably saw – Tristan do it, and then there's like a handle pass around a tree, and then Ryder comes up.
Yeah, and so all of them just did it. And it's like, Will and I looked at each other like, well, I guess we got a new trail. And I'm scared of it. So,
but we still haven't ridden it.
No, we still haven't ridden it. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
But so after that, we ended up at the Grotto, and it was awesome because this flash flood, I don't know if anyone's seen the aftermath. It's the first time I've ever seen the devastation and the amount of rocks and trees it moves.
And it's, I also put this one on Instagram. It's where Jackson Davis crosses the big rock and then turn around to the little cliff section, and
yep,
the guys are doing trials moves up a kind of elevated rock bridge
over a waterfall. Never been that way because it was so big we couldn't get there.
And there were so many trees down before that are now gone.
Or just disappeared. So it was really cool. So it was like riding the trail for the first time for us. And like a lot of the lines we used to take weren't there anymore.
Now it's awesome.
Yeah, now it's just all, it's like a whole new trail. So they enjoyed it. We ended up, I will say, those guys drank all their water very quickly.
Yeah, Tristan's, he's the best. He's like, hey guys, anybody got any water?
Anybody got any water? And the next day we hid waters in our bikes, and they still drank all their waters and drank our hidden waters.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So that was, it just opened my eyes as to what those guys can really do.
Yeah, we knew, but just to have it reaffirmed and to watch them kind of play off of each other, yeah. Ryder and Tristan particularly were kind of playing cat and mouse.
Absolutely. Well, and then on Wednesday.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Or at least try.
Right.
Well, and then I was taking them to this little play hill climb Tuesday. Let's see, Wednesday morning you had to work. You showed up late.
And then you add Theodore into it, which he is in that league of Tristan and Ryder.
Yeah. So on Tuesday, I was taking them to this new hill climb that I thought would be good. We didn't even make it there. And they were going up something that was way steeper, way harder. Tristan makes it 3/4 of the way up, gets off his bike, moves some logs, and they spent 45 minutes there on that hill.
Yes.
Second gear wide open.
They really don't care about our trails.
No. That's what it's so Theodore told me. He said, when I train with people, I tell them, take me somewhere you think is impossible. I train there.
Right.
And that was about what? They don't want a trail ride. They want to go do impossible stuff.
And then they make that area their play area.
Yeah. So it was awesome. We were fortunate. Great to have them. We're lucky to have somewhere to take them. And they actually went back and rode again on Thursday. I was backing up to go to TKO.
I heard that Will Reardon stepped it up on Thursday.
Holy cow. Apparently they were trying to do something that was nearly impossible. And Tristan looked at them all and said, boys, we got to ghost ride it. And I said, then why didn't you look at him and say, we got to pay for parks. You don't.
Right.
So, but yeah, Reardon stepped up his ghost riding immensely.
Oh, wow. I don't need any help with that.
We're actually... Maybe we're just not trying hard enough because we don't do that a lot.
I've done it several times.
All right. So that ended what was an awesome week. And I packed up Thursday morning. I had a bunch of work to do because normally my bike and everything is all ready by like Tuesday, but we were riding. So we headed down Thursday. You came down. Did you come down Thursday night?
Late. I did. I got there at like 10:30 Thursday night and everything was just jammed in there and couldn't find a place to park.
We couldn't even get Will's camper into where he's supposed to be because there were so many people jammed in around us. So he just jammed in somewhere else.
Yep.
And was stuck there all weekend, right by the smoker.
Right by a huge contractor generator.
Oh, man. He turned it off at night. But, man, it was, again, starting Thursday, we got there, there was 5 semis plus yep. Sherco's big rig of, like, it was actually kind of cool because they've got not a full semi, but they've got two big, like a big fifth wheel and then a big stacker trailer that has tents off of them that make.
Tent City.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Did you see that little like 125 or?
Yeah, I think it's a 50.
It's a 50.
It's a 50 cc motor, like full size.
What is
bike.
That?
I don't know. Something
it
weird.
Looked fun.
Yeah, it's got little supermoto looking tires on.
Right,
yeah.
Kind of off roady supermoto tires. Yeah.
So we were gonna try to do a podcast like we did last year every year, and it was so crazy and so busy at TKO. We didn't even.
And there's
interview.
So no service.
Yeah. So yeah, we could not get the one we did on Friday afternoon posted.
We'll throw that on right now.
Sounds good.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the TKO pre-race podcast. Is that what this is?
I mean, we've been racing, so maybe the post-first prologue hot lap podcast?
It's definitely day one at the 2021 Tennessee Knockout. At the Trials Training Center in Sequatchie, Tennessee.
And it is way different.
It is way different. Why is it different, Drew?
There's so many big names here, so many semis, and the course is totally different.
So this is a round of the Hard Enduro World Championship.
Yes, it is. The WHE Hard Enduro World Championship, yep.
So this is kind of what we've been waiting for what, 3 years?
Well, we thought it was going to be last year, and obviously COVID ruined it. Mm-hmm. So now we finally got it, and it was very last minute. Within, like, the last 2 weeks, right after Romaniacs, they shipped things over here. The Europeans' bikes did not have motors in them because they were trying to get clear of customs today. So last I heard, they were clear of customs, waiting on a mechanic for KTM to...
Sorry for the technical difficulties.
To pick them up. So, anyway, it's crazy. We've been out doing some track walk. We're trying to figure out where the course goes. There, that fixed it. Don't touch anything. Okay. Ever again. but no, we saw, let's see, who all did we see today? We saw Manny Lembeckler. We
saw
Alfredo Gomez, Billy Bolt, Michael Walkner. We've seen Johnny Walker walking around.
I haven't seen Johnny Walker.
I've seen him once riding a bicycle.
I heard Taddy was here.
I saw Taddy. I said hello to Taddy. I didn't see him out walking. I saw him behind the gas rig.
I saw Manny's dad.
Big Letty. And then I've seen Mario Ramon. I've seen Wade Young from a distance.
I've seen Alfredo Gomez up close.
Yep.
And his sister.
I didn't know she was here.
Well, I'm assuming that was Sandra Gomez, okay. But I could be wrong.
I'd probably give you a good bet.
She looked like a good dirt bike rider.
Oh, well, she's probably better than both of us.
For sure.
I'm not saying anything about us.
Whatever.
But anyway, so it's crazy. It's packed. I got here around 2 o'clock on Thursday. We're recording this Friday evening. You got here about 24 hours ago on Thursday evening.
Yeah, about 10:30 last night.
Yeah, and so it's been crazy. I cannot believe how crowded it is already on Friday.
So today was the prologue for the amateurs, non-pre-qualified riders that aren't pre-qualified into Sunday. We're trying to fix this. Sorry, guys.
I was holding my microphone, and it just decided to be mad at me.
Yeah. Hopefully I can edit this out.
Nope, boom. There we go.
There it is. I don't know what did it.
But all right, I'm not moving from now on.
Okay.
All right.
So how many racers raced today?
I think I saw 481. I could be wrong. And we just saw results. I don't have the total results. I just kind of have the top, 30 from each race. And it was hard to differentiate because they had, like Will said, the non-pre-qualified people were in three rounds. They went at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock. Then all the pre-qualified guys that went into the second race on Saturday went at 5 o'clock. So then the way they posted the results, it was basically overall Saturday morning race. And then the top pre-qualified people for the Saturday afternoon race. So they didn't have the combined scores. So the guy who actually was fastest of the non-pre-qualified would have been third fastest of the pre-qualified guys. So a guy named Jarrett Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Jared Lamb.
He's fast.
He's super fast.
And then the fastest pre-qualified was JoJo Tool.
JoJo Tool with a 3:30. It was at exactly a 1 mile loop. I reset my odometer, and it made it exactly 1 mile.
That's what my watch said, was 1.00.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how accurate it was. JoJo Tool did that in 3:30. Second was Jackson Davis with a 3:36 lap.
Wow, so JoJo got in by 6 seconds.
6 seconds, and when I saw JoJo, he looked good, and Jackson went right in front of me. I actually went second, and Leah said he was on the gas, moving.
Well, I don't know if you saw where I was, but it was right there at that log that we squeezed on the left side.
Did not see you. I was trying not to look at anything but where I needed to be going.
And then you went another, let's say, quarter of a mile, or probably less than that, tenth of a mile. Then you did a U-turn down into the creek, and you came back.
Yep.
So when Jackson went by that log,
okay,
you were exactly 30 seconds behind him.
Oh, so I was good then.
And then when you came by me on the lower side, you were exactly 36 seconds behind him.
Ooh, there were 6 seconds lost. That was before I bobbled.
And then you bobbled, which had to have cost you another 5 to 10 seconds.
Well, I think my time was a 3:51. So, I mean, I lost more time. I don't know if it was grass track after that or I was blown up. But what was crazy, I think I was 15th fastest. Shelby Turner was 16th right behind me with a 3:53 lap. And shout out to our boy Travis Wilson. I think he was 6 overall with, let me see what he ended up with. He wasn't far off. Travis Wilson, 3:46.
Travis has got some hair scramble speed, apparently.
Hey, let's just say that. He can't do hard enduro. He's got hair scramble speed. He does have a torn bicep. He hadn't been riding, so.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
Talking about you, Chuck. Chuck DeLula of the DeLulo Racing Team and his lovely wife, Shelly, just drove down to their camper. I think everyone's starting to wind down. We're recording this at 8:50 in the p.m.
Yeah, it's kind of been a long day.
We're trying to squeeze it in.
I didn't sleep last night.
No, I was woke up at 3:50 Central Time, which is 4:50 our time, and I was the first one awake out moving for a good couple hours. It was lonely.
And we talked about the Euros and the South Africans and the I don't know, wherever else
Great
these guys
Britain
are
from. Tinians.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a Bulgarian.
Oh, yeah.
Theodore Kubekchev.
Kubekchev, is that how you
Kubekchev,
say
yep.
Let's talk about some of the Americans that are here.
Oh, we haven't really, well, these guys haven't raced. We've seen them, like Cody Webb's here, Tristan Hart's here. Who else you got?
Mitch Carvel's here.
Mitch Carvel, we're looking at him unloading. He's coming to do something. He's doing some damage, I think, this weekend.
Yeah, he's been riding a lot.
He's been riding a lot, he said, working at Hard Enduro Outfitters. If you guys need any parts for your Sherka or anything else you got,
yeah,
he's got parts for you.
Topar, Kenda, all the good stuff.
Yep. And he also has a big load of X-Grip bibs. He said they're kind of like a Nitro Mousse plushie.
Nice.
So he said they're good. I haven't tried one yet. He's going to give me one to try. I'm going to take it home with me, I think.
I heard he was giving us four.
Oh, four, even better. Maybe one each. I don't know. Maybe two each.
Two each.
I like it. Anyway, just joking. We love Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch can hear us, so that's why we're giving him a hard time.
Yeah, he's right next to us. All right, so what are we going to talk about? I mean,
let's keep going. Nick Farringer's here.
Yep, Nick Farringer's here.
Quinn's here.
Quinn Wenzel's here. Colton Haker is not here. He's got the Lyme disease.
Max Gearston is here.
And his lovely girlfriend, Melissa.
Yep.
What? What's that look for?
I don't know.
You gave me, I just said lovely girlfriend. Who else? What? Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. Who are the other Sherka riders?
We got Pat Smodgy.
Smodgy's here.
Farringer's here. You said him. We obviously said Goody Webb. We got a bunch of people. We got a Beta Factory tip. I heard, Beta Factory rig. Thorn Devlin is here, I heard.
Thorn.
Yep.
He's straight been from
racing.
PA?
Yeah, straight from PA. He did so much better at South Lake Aurora. I was so proud of him. So he's in it. There's another kid riding under the Beta tent, Mason Rutledge.
Okay.
I think I said that right.
Where's he from?
I do not know. I could probably look at the results, but I can't. Mitch is still running around like a crazy person. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, seriously, Mitch.
So,
he's got an intense bicycle.
Hey, whoa. He's coming by. It's intense. Yeah.
Intense.
All right, so let's look at the results from, I guess, the non-pre-qualified people.
Okay.
And we got the Jared Lamb that we talked about. Daniel Anderson. Got second.
What was
actually,
it?
Actually, hold
what
on.
Was it their times?
Hold on. I stand corrected. The overall winner
from
the non-pre-qualified people, it just has a transponder number, so it wasn't associated or it did not get attached to a person's name. That was a 338.5.
Ghost Rider.
But then second was Jarrett Lamb. Third was Daniel Anderson. Fourth was Tyler Sereno. Fifth was a Blake Ricketts.
Oh, Blake.
And six. Apparently, we're doing rows of six for that morning race, Will.
Okay.
It appears. So that put you in the third row. You were the 14th fastest.
Okay.
With a 4:05.
I thought I ran a 4:08, according to my wristwatch.
You and I had a bobble in the exact same spot.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
I got yours on film.
Well, yeah, I did not get yours. My phone was not there, and I was like, you wouldn't want to see that anyway.
No.
So, but
I think your bobble is a little more significant than my bobble.
I don't know.
But apparently, I was slower everywhere else.
Yeah, maybe. I was trying to go fast, and I think that was a problem.
Yeah, it was really strange because in trying to go fast, I couldn't tell if I was trying to go fast or trying not to make a mistake.
Yep.
And the two kind of, I guess they go hand in hand.
It compounded. We got a little rain shower. It's super dry here. I think in years past we've said this. We need some rain, but I don't want rain. But we got maybe 30 minutes of a light rain. It made it through the canopy. And it got on the rocks, and it made them super slick. So
yeah, sorry, I just cut us down.
Yeah, it was really quiet. That's all right.
Trying to turn it back up.
That's all right. But anyway,
trying to get rid of that buzz. You still hear it?
I hear it, but I thought it was the cicadas. They've been crazy lately.
Yeah, we'll blame it on that.
Even though we have headphones on. But now I think that I don't know what else to talk about. Like, we were going to grab some guys, but it has been so crazy, and it's the most crowded I've seen it on a third or what day around. We're on Friday now. It was crowded yesterday on Thursday when we got here, and it's even more crowded today.
Yeah. And I don't know what I was going to say, but if y'all are coming this way, there's lots of good food here.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen so many food vendors.
There's
a guy next to us.
A great barbecue.
I think it's Jerome's Fine Swine.
Heck, yeah.
And he has got his smoker set up right in front of Will's camper, and I'd let him use my fan, and he gave me a barbecue, old pork barbecue
That's
sandwich.
That's good trade.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good. And our shirts are just happen to be set up right next to this. So
nice.
If you get a shirt, it might come with a side of smoke smell.
They smell good this year.
Yeah.
And then there's a pizza place. There's a snow cone place.
There's two pizza places.
Two pizza places.
Yeah, another barbecue place.
Okay.
A little bit of everything.
But I think we mentioned there's a bunch of big rigs here. So yep, the Magna 1 Husqvarna rigs here.
Yep, that's one.
18-wheeler.
Yep, semi.
Semi. We got KTM.
Yep.
Husqvarna.
Yep.
Beta.
Yep. Gas-Gas.
Gas-Gas has a big rig.
Yep.
Who are their riders?
Gas-Gas, we had... So Ryan Sipes was supposed to be here. Hurt his ankle. Ricky
Did
Russell
you see that ankle? It's fat.
It was swollen. And I'm bummed because... I hadn't seen him in a while, and it's kind of a good event for him, I think, a little faster, not quite as long and grueling,
right?
Especially if it stayed dry. So he was out. So they got Taddy Blazusiak, that Michael Walkner we talked about, another factory Red Bull rider for Gas-Gas. He is from Austria. I've learned his father worked,
Max Gearson?
What?
Gas-Gas.
Oh, I thought we were talking about...
No, we are. We're talking about the rig.
Oh, okay. We're talking about people that are under the rig.
That's kind of a joke.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Bad joke.
I was talking about someone. It confused me. And then Ricky Russell was also supposed to be here for the Coastal team, and he is not going to be able to make it, I've heard.
Yep.
So that's all we got there. And then we got the Sherco. They don't have a semi, but they have like two.
Tent City.
It's like a stacker trailer with tents in front and then a huge gooseneck with tents beside it. And it's almost forming like an L. It's a really cool shape. So.
Yeah, and they're kind of up on the hill away from everyone. They're up. Next to where we're at right now.
Well, it's actually where KTM has traditionally always been. So they put KTM, Husky, Gas-Gas, Magna 1, Beta down in the lower camp where Husky always was, moved Sherco up here.
There's actually a sixth big rig, the Moose big rig.
Moose big rig's up there. And then we've got Tim Anderson selling Kenda tires, selling them, mounting them, all that good stuff.
And then XC Gear's got a pretty big setup.
Huge. He was actually out watering. The dust is actually getting pretty bad. He's been watering. I guess he's getting dusted out from everyone going up and down the gravel road. Yeah, that happens.
SRT, what do they have?
They're here. I know Corey Grafunder.
I saw Craig.
Yep, Corey Grafunder's here, and then Craig Thompson. He actually rode today. He finished right behind you. He was like a 105 plus a little after.
405?
Yep.
105 would be impressive.
That would be on a jetpack. Yes, he was a 405, excuse me. So, but no, they're here. I don't know if they're selling any product, but they are here. But we're both grateful to be on our SLM Racing KTM of North Texas.
Absolutely.
KTMs, and mine's still running good. My other bike's here. Some of the Red Bull media guys were out riding around on it. It still looks better than if I was riding it, so it's in one piece.
I need to find a spark plug because I've got a little blurb that in the grass track, I come out of the first turn, and it's just
You said a bog?
Yeah.
A big bog. Well, you had clutch issues. You got the clutch problem fixed, right?
I hope so. I went down to the cove and rode for about 20 minutes and got it hot to make sure.
Right. So you went back to the stock clutch lever.
Yeah. I can't figure out why the Enduro Engineering or
Midwest Mountain Engineering. Clutch lever keeps getting out of adjustment. Something's got to be going on with it.
I don't know.
Something's getting out of whack.
It's driving me insane, so I just threw it back in the toolbox and put the stock one on there.
Oh, all right. So what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the first TKO race for the amateurs.
Yep, TKO one on Saturday.
I heard it's a 20-mile loop.
Yeah, I've seen a 20-mile marker. Yeah, I didn't touch it. You didn't move. I don't know what it is. Hopefully they can't hear it. But, it's a 20-mile loop, and then that's going off at 9 a.m. Riders meetings at 8 a.m. Then we got a little break, and then I don't know how many advanced to TKO 2. I don't know if you know that number. Maybe 75 traditionally.
I don't know.
And then that'll be us pre-qualified guys go with the guys from the morning race, and they're narrowing it. I guess they're cutting it down to a 13-mile loop with some pretty good added stuff.
Have you walked any of the
– Not, and that's part of it. Everyone's like, what can we watch? Leah's asking where she can spectate, and I'm like, I don't know. Honestly don't know. They've mixed it up so much. We are running it in a counterclockwise direction, so we'll be going down uphill swamp.
Are we definitely going down uphill swamp?
Yes, somebody told me they locked it. So we're going out to the spring.
Okay.
But we're doing some of the creek behind the cabins.
Nice.
That we've done in years past in our, like, hot lap.
Yep.
And then headed out to the spring, and then coming around. And I don't know. It's supposed to be a 13-mile loop. Some of the Keener property. They've got some new creek at the Keener property. The pumpkin patch is there. Supposedly a new pumpkin patch. It's supposed to be gnarly.
I wonder if the first race, the 20-mile loop, will include any of the stuff behind the cabins.
I would assume it would have to since...
Just to wait,
behind. So, according to... I can't remember who I was talking to. Maybe Eric or Sean. each race, you go further up the creek behind the cabin. So, like, the first race, you go up a little and then turn off. Second race, you go up a little more and you turn off. So,
and then probably by Sunday morning, you go up to the old waterfall.
So, by Sunday, TKO2.
Rock Garden, excuse me.
You go all the way up to Kinder Rock Garden, which we always called the waterfall, but they consider the waterfall Lambkins Falls all the way up
right.
the mountain.
You gotta stay out of that water.
Yeah, stay out of the water. I hadn't seen any water moving.
No, there's not much water this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. I mean, tomorrow we got two races. The goal is to make top 30 out of this 484, 81, whatever we figured.
Yeah, I wonder where we – you're top 15 right now.
I don't know, because it's not combined with the scores.
We're not even going to worry about it.
Nope. We're just going to wait and see what happens tomorrow.
I suck at four-minute races, so I'm pretty happy with where I'm sitting.
Yeah, and I mean, I made one mistake, like Will said, and it cost me, I thought, 5 seconds, maybe more. And in a four-minute race, that's 10 positions, I would think.
Right.
But also, I got beat by 26 seconds, so, hey.
Somebody was on the gas.
Young kids are fast.
Are we going to do our picks?
No.
We're going to do the picks? I guess we need to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be rough.
Yeah. You got to race two races.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on.
Yep.
I don't know. We're going to try to get a podcast. We need to grab some guys. So the biggest problem is I've been wanting to go around and talk to some of the guys, get to know them a little bit, and we've met them on the trail, but it's like they're all either out walking or by the time we get done with stuff, they've gone to the hotel for the night. So, you know, maybe tomorrow we'll have some time to talk to them a little bit.
My biggest issue, though, is going to be getting this online. I don't know how. I guess I'm going to have to steal a Wi-Fi password and –
I might know someone who has it.
Okay. Well, that would be good because I think that's what I did last year. I would go up to
the cabin.
The shop
yep.
and get on their Wi-Fi.
It's the same as it was last year, so you should be good.
Well, I've got a different phone.
Oh, that's your. You can take my phone and steal my password. I don't know how to give it to you. But anyway, guys, hey, thanks for listening. We'll hopefully be back tomorrow with some updated results from Amateur Day and give you that top 30 who's going on to Sunday.
Heck yeah.
All right.
See you on the trail.
See you.
All right, so that was our podcast from Friday evening that we couldn't get uploaded.
Yeah, and I don't even know what we talked about, so if we start repeating ourselves, just hit fast
forward.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So I assume we talked about how our qualifying laps went and how all that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I feel like I'm about to hit repeat on what we said 2 or 3 years ago, but it might have been the driest TKO ever.
I think it was drier than the driest TKO ever.
It was dry. I mean, there was places like the spring. It's an area we kind of go through every year. It's the least amount of water I've ever seen in it, by far.
It's a deep hole with no water in it.
Yeah, a little bit, but not much.
Okay. So Saturday morning, I'm racing Saturday morning.
I know, because Battle of the Goats is usually your winner chicken dinner, and you were not able to get pre-qualified.
Yeah, I was not pre-qualified for anything, so I started on the second row Saturday morning, and I just raced a hare scramble. I mean, it was fast.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I thought we were going to have a lot of new trail, and maybe we had some new trail, but a lot of it was Jeep Roads new trail.
There was some single track trail that was not hard. It was just good, flowy single track.
Yeah, I felt like I was in a national enduro. Like, I passed some guys from out west, and later they were like, dude, do you used to race enduros? Because you're really fast at that stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's what I used to do.
Yeah.
So
I think I got fifth.
Overall in that morning race?
Yeah, fifth in that race.
Yeah, that's right. You started on the fifth row. I was on the fourth row for the afternoon race. And we were really hoping, because Will said, we rode a lot of Jeep Roads. And we rode a lot of Jeep Roads I've never ridden before.
They were not just like Jeep Roads. These were like fourth, fifth gear, wide open, water break.
Yeah.
Water break.
Well, and then it was funny because we all had the exact same experience. And luckily, I was calling James Flynn when it happened. We're coming down this long road, water break. Jumping it, and you know, you either got to send it or check up and roll it. And we came hot into a wet, slippery creek. The rocks were round, black, and sweating. And I thought I was dead. I thought I hear. Luckily, James.
Yeah, I went full lock to the right.
Oh, trying to steer through.
No, it wasn't me steering. It was like the bars just went full lock right, and then back straight. And I was like, did that just happen?
Am I okay?
I was fine.
Well, it was, there was some sketchy moments, and there was times when I probably pushed it more than I should, and there's times I probably should have kept trying, but I didn't want to crash because you know a big one's coming.
Well, and the results from that,
This is the first race or the second race?
Well, we can talk about the first race for a second. Yeah.
Let's just go. So the first race, again, we'll go ahead and just talk about the second race. It started rows of six, actually. And I had Shelby Turner on my row. She was the fastest woman qualifier. And Red Bull had her mic'd up. She had GoPros facing forward, facing backwards. And I guess that's the other thing we can back up and talk about. Since this was the first year that this was the Hard Enduro World Championship, it is a full Red Bull event. So they had more camera people than I've ever seen. They had the cable camera going on the Red Bull Straight Rhythm Prologue, which will come up later after this race.
I'm going to turn my mic off for a second while I try to find these results. You keep talking.
Oh, I keep talking. So we started on the fourth row, Will's on the fifth row. So basically they took the winner of the Saturday morning race, put him or her on row one, second place row two, and so on until it got back to the back some. Will is not having luck. He's throwing his hands up. but anyway, so we started this race. So one thing they did differently this year is we actually went behind the cabins and started up the creek that's normally the hot lap. And that's, golly, something else we didn't even talk about. They've moved everything this year. So the prologue, the hot lap, the real hot lap, the Friday prologue was up in the Red Bull Ravine, which we probably talked about on that little thing, day one podcast. But anyway, so we go up and we went around the over-under bridge, went up behind like cabin three, did a U-turn and came back. And I was actually made one move. Mason Rutledge was on my row. He took what was the U-turn from the morning race and I think the prologue. So he took a wrong turn, got in the lead. I had a good line picked out, turned around, coming back down the creek. And we had to go over this big rock slab and then turn left out of the creek to get around the upper side of the over-under bridge. Well, when I got there, the row in front of me had at least five of the six in there. And I thought, I'm just going to do a little pivot turn and shoot across all this. Well, when I did, my front wheel hit a rock, and I fell down in this hole, big hole. My bike, of course, fell over and then upside down, and I couldn't get it out. So the entire row, except for Shelby, goes by me. Luckily, Eric Bernard was there. Pulled my rear wheel out just enough because my handlebars were wedged under a rock. And, of course, I am absolutely freaking out that this is it. My day's over. This is horrible. So I get out of there, and I rode by myself for the first 3 miles. And we rode all the stuff we always ride out. If you're looking at the mountain, we went mountain right and then around. And basically we rode it counterclockwise this year. So I'd be coming down uphill swamp. We get out there, and then we got on the Keener Farm, which is way to the right, and they added a new creek in the Keener Farm, and it was nothing hard. It was just bouncy and relentless, and I dropped down into there. There was like six guys there, and I'm like, okay, here we go. We can start racing now. Unfortunately, I only passed like one of them, and then we got in this super fast, super dusty stuff, and it was so sketchy, and then we had what we'll call the blown ribbon, and a bunch of people who got either – I know Ronnie Vina cut the course, and he called it a day and came back and said, guys, I cut the course. Mm. They said he figured out where to go, and so that really put him down. He didn't even make it to Sunday, I think, because of some of this. We had some guys that had really good races that was questionable, let's just say that.
Well, and I went under that banner that was down.
And what else to say? Did you go under it, or did you just go through it?
Well, it wasn't there.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't there when I got there.
It wasn't there.
Luckily, there was guys coming at us, so we all realized.
Well, and I was one of those guys that went another 100 feet, did a pivot turn, came back.
Okay.
And then, so I met somebody, and he followed me as well. So I went up the hill. It was about a 4 mile loop around there. And yep. Then when I got back down to the bottom, it was right after one of those sketchy creek after a long straightaway.
Yep.
I saw banner tape that there was somebody ducking under there.
Oh, coming back onto the course from the wrong direction.
Exactly. So I don't know who that was. I didn't take time to look, but
there was someone who finished physically in front of me on the race course who never passed me. I know that. And I caught them in the last long creek.
Me as well.
Yeah. So it is what it is. There was no way for them to go back and rectify it, unfortunately.
So first race, Wade Barone.
Yep, he looked good coming through.
I know Blake got an interview with him. Or no, I think Woody, okay, Seat Time got an interview with him. Joshua Lau, second. Daniel Anderson, Gage Logan Key got fourth. I got fifth. So then we'll go to the second race.
Well, it was pretty cool. So Gage ended up being on my row. The young kid, it was the first hard enduro he's ever done. So
nice.
It probably suited him because he's used to hair scrambles.
Yeah. Let's see. Of course, these results are really hard to find for some reason on Speedhive right now.
That's all right. So I ended up, let me go back and finish my race. So I was actually having fun. So Mason Rutledge is a guy from out west, and he does snowmobiling stuff with Keith Curtis. He's on a factory beta, and me, him, and James Flynn had a lot of fun, and Chance Baker. You know, we were just, no one wanted to kind of take the lead other than to get out of the dust. And so we all went back and forth. He went down once, and then that put me behind James. Chased James a long time. We really never hit anything hard. I mean, went down uphill swamp, up the road next to it, which wasn't bad, and then we rode all of the same Jeep roads off to the left of the mountain, and I thought we were done, and we turned up and went up another shelf, back to the right, and then up another shelf, and then all the way back around, and I was just, the hardest part of that race was the beginning mile and the last mile. We went up that creek. I mean, it was
really, there was about 500 yards at the end that was hard.
Yeah, exactly. That was where some stuff. And I think Jarrett Moen was yelling at me to pass somebody, and I just gave it all I had. By the time I got to the end of the creek, I was noodle-armed, couldn't hold on. I saw Cody Webb, and he pointed me to a line I wouldn't have normally taken. I was going to go around, and it was so good. And I just said, thank you, Cody, because it got me out of that thing.
Okay, so Jarrett Lamb,
yep,
he won that second race, followed by Tobin Miller, Jackson Davis, Dawson Mattis, Maddox, Rodrigo Lopez, Ezra Perrine, Bobby Cornwell.
Bobby was on it. First time he's ever done TKO.
Tyler Soriano, Joe Nemeth, JoJo Tool, and Drew Kirby in 11th.
Yep.
Followed by James Flynn, who I don't think we mentioned. Did we mention that he rode with us this week?
Last week? Yeah, we said he was part of that crew, but he was killing it.
Then, like you said, Mason Rutledge.
Yep.
Wade Barone, who won the first race. He top 15 second race. That's awesome. Augustine Pascal. I'm not going to go through the top 30, but I ended up 35th. Did not make it to Sunday, so that's the first time I've ever not made it to Sunday at a TKO.
Yeah, and it was, again, a little disappointing that it was more of a fast hair scramble. I talked to Eric Bernard and Catherine and Charlie, who used to run TKO Amateur Day on Saturday. Catherine's still helping out. Charlie's retired. When they retired, Larry B. Smith took over and kind of gave Bernard more input and control on Saturday. And I thought he made it harder in the beginning, that creek section, but there was nowhere that a hard enduro rider could make up enough time on a fast rider, in my opinion.
Agreed.
And
I finished 35th, and I was 10 minutes out of the lead.
You're so tight, yeah.
That just tells you, and if you drop down, I mean,
I know Spencer Ricketts was like, it was incredibly tight.
The top 76 riders were with 19 minutes and 25 seconds.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you had one little problem.
Yeah, and I know Travis Wilson got 36th. He, I think he lost a brake tip.
Yeah, he was bleeding his brakes or something, he said he had to. I don't know if he boiled them or what happened. And that's what, I can't remember what pro I was talking to, said they boiled their rear brakes, they were going so fast. I mean,
I don't doubt
it. Hard enduro.
Yeah, well, that's really dry. What
TKO.
Could yep. be hard. I mean, if it rained, yeah. No, this isn't a conversation. The conversation is, man, that was awful, that so rough. The pumpkin patch would have sucked.
Yeah, the pumpkin patch, it was so dry right through it. And then I know they wanted to get us over to the Keener property for that new creek they had in, but there was nothing hard about the creek. It was just, it just beat you up and tested your endurance more than anything. Like, it wasn't like, I've got to think how to get up this. Like, that's one thing I think real hard enduro riders are better at, is problem solving, pushing your bike. I mean, it's like, Tobin Miller is fast. And, you know, when it gets really hard, he struggles more.
Yep.
But he's a great rider, so, and he's getting bigger. I mean, he's a young kid, so I think with age and some size will help with that.
Okay, so then after all that was done, we had Straight Rhythm.
The Red Bull Straight Rhythm Prologue.
And this was the top 22 riders. Oh, actually, it was more than that.
Yeah, so they were going to do, okay, here's what happened. They were going to do 11 Euros and 11 Americans. Well, then half the Euros motors didn't show up. And it turns out, I found out later, none of their motors showed up.
Mm-hmm.
They all just used American motors and did the best they could with it. So props to them for being on not their suspension. They may have been on their suspension. Yes, they were on their suspension.
They weren't on the motors.
But they weren't on their spec motors. And apparently there's several different generations that these guys are riding.
Yeah.
And they're all a little different. So
I imagine Billy Bolt has the latest and greatest.
Yeah, and he was riding. So he ended up on one of Colton's bikes, or motors, I should say. And then Alfredo Gomez was on Colton's motor. What was so funny is those guys all run Michelin tires. So their tires didn't show up with the motors. So there was a whole lot of
scrambling.
There was a whole lot of scrambling. And I know Tabby Blazusiak found out Jackson Davis had one and did some jersey trading and some tire trading to get a Michelin.
Nice.
So, but yeah, so I really thought, like, I've been in that LCQ duel on the straight rhythm. I really thought it was kind of going to be lame. Wasn't going to be that exciting.
It was not lame.
I was 100% wrong.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
And going for one more thought about the motors, I don't know if we did a interview with Tristan and he talked about, I think it was an interview at Battle of the Goats where
talking about Romania X motor.
Yeah, and he was running one of the European motors.
Yep.
And he said it was so hot, it was so strong that he was having a hard time climbing the hills.
Keeping the front end down.
In Romania.
Yep.
So he actually preferred the less powerful American motor.
Yeah, but I can imagine if you're used to that more power and you come over here.
Yeah.
It's different.
And they control it with a clutch. I mean, it's wide ass open, feather in the clutch, blast off.
100%. So to the Red Bull Straight Rhythm Prologue, it ended up being, so I guess what got all this started, we're talking about their motors. The promoters went around and started pulling up other U.S. guys.
We get to fill the spots?
Exactly. So then we had some motors come in. So Manny was the last one to get his ready, and Taddy. We were waiting on them. So then they basically ended up with 26. And then we were going to narrow it down to, what, 16?
Yeah, to make a legitimate bracket.
Yeah. So then they got two runs to get their best time to seed them in the bracket. And, dude, Billy Bolt made it happen.
Well, in the way it shook out, Tristan and Cody faced off in the first round, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of America's two best hopes, or North America. Yeah. And then, so Cody won easily the first race.
Yes.
And then
he set the fastest time too.
Yeah, and then the second race, because you had to win 2 out of 3, apparently Cody jumped the gun. So they gave that win to Tristan.
Yep, and then the big advantage was if the lower seed made it go to a third race, they got to pick the side.
The slower seed. So, and yep. Cody was like the third seed, and Tristan was like the 14 or.
I don't remember.
4 or 13, right. Something like that. So Tristan got his choice. Well, the right line was faster.
Yep, way better.
He took the third win, knocked out Cody Webb.
Yep.
And so I was like, man. But then Tristan ended up doing pretty well. He made it pretty far.
He did. And it was interesting because he told us right before the race that the right side was a little better. The way the dirt was piling up on the left, it was harder to get the pivot turn on the left side.
Yeah, and so if you didn't see it, there was a big log crossing, another big log crossing or jump.
There was a jump, a log crossing.
Then the
culvert.
The culvert with logs on each side of it, so they're kind of jumping over that.
Yep.
And then there was a log matrix.
Yep. And then a U-turn in the end of the log matrix.
But the U-turn was just a flat, very narrow. It was about as wide as the
motorcycle.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah. So you had to either go to the right or go to the left and do a pivot turn or slide it around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty entertaining watching those guys work their magic.
And so basically it was 4 logs. And some guys were going double-double, but if you doubled into the pivot turn area, you had too much speed.
Yep.
And you were slower to turn, because when some guys did that, the other guy would get the advantage.
Yeah.
So, but it was exciting. So Billy Bolt pulled out this wheel tap on the way back on the last log.
Well, actually, Cooper did it first.
No, Billy did it first.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
He'd done it several times, and Cooper attempted it, successfully did it, until...
He smashed his rear wheel on this log tap and freaking broke a KTM swing arm.
Yeah, and I don't have a picture, and I don't know where exactly it broke, but...
I've never even heard of a swing arm breaking like that.
I've seen some pictures, and okay. It's like, hush, hush, don't tell anyone that broke, but they're out there.
Okay.
But and also, Johnny Walker did it.
Okay, so maybe he did break a swing arm,
if
I'm getting somebody in trouble.
Yeah, no, he broke one. We were there. And then Taddy tried it on the last lap. So it ended up coming down to Billy Bolt, Taddy Blazusiak. After Taddy hurts his shoulder, didn't know he had... major shoulder surgery.
Well, how did he hurt his shoulder?
Well, it had been hurt. But
how did he re-injure it?
He came into the first... He did the jump and hit the first set of logs. It sounded like a car hitting a concrete wall.
I don't know how the forks didn't fold under that that motorcycle.
And it sent him to the moon. And he actually won that race, came back holding his shoulder, and we thought he might have been done.
Yeah, he probably should have been.
Yeah, but he ended up going to the final, and then Billy won the first one. Mm-hmm. Taddy went to the right side. And he was leading, and I don't know what Billy did to make up time, but Taddy said, I got to go for it. So he went a little long over the culvert jump. Suspension was compressed. He tried to get the hop to clear it. And, I mean, it sent him nose high, feet off the pegs. Somehow he landed it and rode it out. But Billy took the win.
So straight rhythm was cool. And Drew and I, mostly Drew, we were doing the announcing right there at the Straight Rhythm.
Yep.
Had a good time doing that.
First time we've ever done anything like that. So we were trying. We're not good on fluff.
No.
We building excitement, apparently.
We like facts and what's going on.
Yeah, actually telling you. So, but so we enjoyed it, and that was the other part of the deal. We've been asked to do it for this TKO2 on Sunday and then the main event, and it turned out to be awesome.
Yeah,
the race did.
And I actually did it for TKO1.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I was racing TKO1.
Yeah, I was yelling at you on the mic. I don't know if you heard me.
I heard you yell at me, but I didn't know you were on a mic yelling at me. I thought you were just yelling at me.
Yeah.
So then fast forward to, well, actually, let's talk about Shelby Turner and Luis Forsley.
Right.
So they were also doing this Straight Rhythm prologue, and Luis set the faster time, and then they went head-to-head, like, when the guys were going, or after the guys went, and Shelby Turner took 2 out of 3.
So Shelby's fastest time was faster than some of the dudes.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to dump on anybody.
Yeah,
but
not dump on anybody.
But she and Luis, I mean, they looked good. Their times were like in the 23, 24 second range.
Wow.
Billy's best time was, he eclipsed 18 seconds. So
yeah, he had an 18 like 7 or an 18.3.
He had a 17.8.
Yeah, 17.8?
Yes.
Holy cow. Well, the other interesting thing I forgot about is when they were doing it, there was just a guy watching the start to see if they jumped. And Taddy got disqualified on one of them.
So they started filming it.
Well, so then Taddy pulled out the GoPro, and we had like a 5-minute intermission while they were trying to figure out.
He was like, I did not jump.
He did not jump. Clearly, he did not.
Yeah, and that's something that they can clean up in the future.
Yeah.
Probably make some more definite rules, because I know there was one rider that crossed over into the other line. It's like, what's his name? Cooper wanted to ride Will's bike after he broke his swing arm, but they were like, well, according to FIM rules, he can't. But I mean, he's not really subject to FIM rules.
It's FIM event, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was
the crowd was like, let him ride.
I was letting this crowd was all cheering for it. Like, why not? What the heck, dude? He just pulled off something awesome. Throw a transponder on there and let's go.
And he was looking good.
Oh, man.
He was up on.
He was the sixth qualifier.
When he broke it, who was he racing?
Billy Gold.
And he beat Billy that, the one where he broke it.
Yeah, he ended up taking the win by doing the wheel tap.
Right.
So it could have been interesting for the rest of the race, and they wouldn't let him.
That changes everything if Cooper takes out Billy there. Maybe the whole weekend.
The whole weekend. Because after that, let's just, spoiler alert.
It was the Billy Bolt show.
Actually,
no, he didn't win TKO1.
Yeah, that's true. Or the hot, did he win the hot lap?
He did.
He did.
Or maybe vice versa.
All right, so anyway, let's go to Sunday. Holy cow. So they did the awards on, well, I guess we'll back up. We got a few scoring issues. They got all that solved. So we ended up doing the Moose barbecue dinner earlier, then gave out the medals for the amateur day and some other awards Sunday late. I mean, excuse me, Saturday late.
It was getting dark.
It was dark, and we could still hear them up there announcing. So got that day done, and then comes the real day Sunday.
Sunday morning was exciting.
Oh, man, everyone, just whole different mood.
Yeah, it was game on.
Yeah, the pros weren't laughing and joking. It was serious face.
And they let the top pros pick their order based on how they finished. So Billy chose to go fifth.
Yeah, I was surprised. And we didn't really know that. And we're all sitting there back there waiting to go and like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I made it up to Red Bull Ravine. And I was so confused when Manny came through first.
Yep.
Or I think it was Manny. I can't remember who came through first.
Yep.
But anyways, the order was all out of whack. Manuel Lettenbeckler, Beckler, he ended up taking the win, a 6.06 hot lap.
Holy cow, mine was like a 12-something. And I was proud. I wanted to be in the 20s. I thought I'd be in the 20s, under 20.
Right. Billy Bolt, second, 6.08.
Ooh, 2 seconds.
Tristan Hart, 6.10.
Nice.
Johnny Walker, 6.19. Taddy, 6.19. Cody, 6.27. Ryder, 6.33. Mario, 6.36. And Wade Young is 6.37. And then everybody else is close. Jordan Ashburn, Alfredo Gomez, Pat Smaggi, Will Reardon, Michael Wagner, Teodor Kapachev, Keith Curtis. I mean, these are bangers.
They're all close together. I mean, it was, you know, that's what we were talking about. Like, there's a lot of big names here. I mean, to make it into the top 25 was nearly impossible for someone like me or you, who's normally on the cusp of 26 to 30.
Right.
So
yeah, we're just winging a prayer to make top 25. Normally, this year, not even that close.
Well, and I was proud. I ended up 34th on the hot lap. And nice. It was like out of 60, I took it because it was hard. I mean, and it was, they threw in, so after we walked everything, they added a section at the very end of the Red Bull Ravine where you go up and have to turn around and come back. No one had walked it. No one had seen it. And I got there and just went, didn't know what to do. Luckily, there was a couple guys stuck in bad lines that told me where to go. And they even left the big Sean's uphill in there, which also changed things. But I made it 3/4 the way up and then was able to push up.
You took a different line than anyone else. I don't know if you just said that.
No, I did not just say
that. I was playing with the audio. Sorry. So everyone was going the main line. It was getting just chewed up, yep. Rocks everywhere. It was super rough on the takeoff. Well, Drew, I mean, being Drew, he goes to the left, and everybody's like, oh, no, what is he doing? I'm like, that's a great line. Drew went up there, made it 75% of the way up,
yep.
Pivoted to the right, and sidehilled back across.
Yeah, and it was – I honestly thought I was further up, and so I stopped and pivoted, and I looked. I'm like, oh, I could have gone like another 10 feet. Would have made my life easier.
You probably would have been able to get out.
I think I would have, but luckily I saw several people turning around and coming back down. So I think that really helped me getting up there the first time, even though I pushed out. But it was really, I wasn't sure how the hot lap, if it was going to be harder or easier. It was just different, but it was good.
Okay. So just comparing it to years past, was the hot lap harder, easier, better, worse?
I think if it had been wet, it would have been horrible.
Right.
Because there was traction on those slick rocks to get through there, but I liked it. There was several options, which was nice. Other than the hill, you know, the hill's the one option, but I think you could have bailed out.
You made a second option.
What? Oh, yeah, I did make a second option.
Yeah, if you made it up around that taped tree, you could drop down and then climb a different hill.
Yeah, the main hill over there used to
which
be
which they moose. Took away for the main event.
Did they really?
Okay, oh, yeah, sure. It was gone.
Okay. I would assume they would have done that, but so then, like I said, Will just went over that order. That's how I ended up. Was kind of proud of that, and then I started the next race thinking – it's going to get real hard. And it, honestly.
It didn't?
Wasn't horrible. It was so dry. They added, over on the Keener property, they made that creek like 3 times as long. Then they took out a lot of that, the sketchy Jeep roads. But still, they kept it. I thought it was going to go down to 13 miles. It was still 16, maybe.
So, knockout race one started one at a time.
Yeah, 30 seconds apart.
In the order that you did the hot lap.
In your finishing order from the hot lap, yep.
So, Billy Bolt. He put down a 55.31. Excuse me.
Yep.
14 seconds behind him was Manny Lettenbeckler.
Okay.
So are you starting to see a trend?
Yep.
And then a minute 55 back was Tristan Hart. 2:07 back.
Is this the finish for the TKO1?
Yeah, this is finish for TKO1. Okay. Ryder LeBlanc.
Yep.
Fourth.
Fastest American in that race.
Cody Webb, fifth. Alfredo Gomez, sixth. Jordan Ashburn, seventh. Taddy, eighth. Wade Young, Johnny Walker, Will Reardon, Michael Walkner, Mario Roman, Nick Faringer with the top 14, then Corey Grafunder. He's looking good.
Yeah, he had problems in the hot lap. His bib came off, his wood tire came off.
Oh, yeah, I was standing there when that happened.
Yeah, so he had to go all the way back, and he started in the back end. Him and Jackson came by me in TK1 just on the gas. I hit the wall in TK01, and I was cruising. I think I ended up 50th.
I'll go through the rest of this top 25 just because – I mean, this is legit.
Yeah.
Okay, Grafunder got 15th. Cooper Abbott got 16th. Pat Smaje, 17th. Trials guy, right?
Yep.
Spencer Wilton, Thorne Devlin, Max Gearston, 20th. Keith Curtis, 21st. Brandon Petrie, Teodor Kabachev.
Yeah, and I've been corrected. It's Max Gearston.
Max Gearston. Mitch Carvel, our boy Mitch. And then Quinn Wenzel was 25th. So then that set up the 26th through 29th to race in the
LCQ duel.
Yep. So you had Bosey, Danny Lewis, James Flynn, and Tobin Miller. And basically Flynn dominated.
Yeah, and we didn't see it, and I was surprised. Did he really? Okay,
yeah,
I was down there.
He won every round, and none of them were close.
I would put my money on Danny or Bosey there, not knowing, but
yeah,
Flynn's been, you know.
Flynn's an enduro cross kind of kid.
And he was the guy I was talking about. He was like, man, you used to do enduros. You're fast in that stuff. And I said, man, it's getting harder. You're going to start doing better. And right. As the difficulty picked up, he did start doing better.
Okay, so that set up the 5x5 top 25 race.
Well, one more thing about TKO1. They actually sent us all the way up to Lambkin Falls.
Well, nice.
Was the only slick spot in the entire race because we went.
Was there any water coming off the fall?
No, but it was wet enough up there. So we came, if you're looking up the mountain, we came from the right and came down everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went under the big overhang, if you've ever been up there. And instead of going down where we normally drop into the hole, they've sent us past it.
Ooh.
And it was it was slick, and there was a big hole. A couple guys went over the bars. So it was pretty – it added that, and then we dropped all the way down, and we did what we call the waterfall. It's called the TKO Rock Garden. But it was so dry, you know, it was – wasn't that
y'all just dropped down it?
What?
Y'all just dropped down
it? No, we didn't drop down it. We came down the ledges from the right. U-turn went up it.
I got you.
And then up and out. And normally – that was in the main event, and when it's wet, those guys can barely get out of there.
So that's where some of the good video
yep.
of, like, Max passing.
But that was the start of TKO2. They sent them all the way up it in TKO2. So that's why they were so bunched up, where Max put the pass on Quinn and James.
Okay. I don't know if Max made that pass stick on Quinn in the video that Blake posted. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. He ended up beating Quinn. Quinn was the last one to come through on the 5x5 race. So go back into that. I interrupted.
Okay. So the 5x5 race, they're not sorted into their groups, but, you know, we kind of know what happened.
Yep.
Billy won his row. Tristan won his row.
Yep.
I think Mario won his row.
Not sure.
Alfredo. Well, just based on times, the top five is Billy, Tristan, Mario, Alfredo, and then Theodore.
Really?
Fifth.
But I know he didn't win his row. He was third in his row.
Okay. Then Manuel Ettenbichler, Wade Young, Ryder LeBlanc, Johnny Walker, Cody Webb, 10th. And Cody was, I think he was cruising to a win in his row and had a bad get off towards the end.
Yeah, he actually wasn't cruising. He caught up to Johnny in that last creek bed we said. He said he clicked up to second or third and just started sending it and dropped the front in a hole and over the bars he went.
Ow.
So Blake either saw it or videoed it, so hopefully we'll get that.
So Cody ended up third, which – second?
Johnny won. He was second.
Okay, so third. Being on the second row instead of the first row for the final is actually a big deal.
Well, when we go straight into that dusty grass track, sorry, went blank.
Yeah. So anyways, I guess we should just go straight into the final now, huh?
Man, it was awesome. So we didn't get to see the start of the final. We went straight up to the Red Bull Ravine, and the crowd, I think it's the biggest crowd we've had at TKO.
Several thousand people?
I would think so. And that's what I talked to someone, and I don't think Eric has ever been given spectator numbers to know how many have been there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We can't say it's the biggest, but spectator-wise.
We need a turnstile.
People were everywhere. They'd be sneaking in through the hills if we had that.
That's true.
Probably coming off the mountain.
Well, and people, speaking of people on the hills.
Holy cow.
I mean, earlier in
TKO2,
we saw some people nearly get smoked. We saw one kid actually get smoked.
With rocks is what Will's talking about.
Rocks tumbling down from where the riders were coming down the hill.
And it wasn't even the riders. It was the people up there walking around.
Oh, yeah.
Dislodging them.
Yeah, and you get a bowling ball-sized rock, or even smaller, let's just say a softball-sized rock, tumbling down the hill, and it quickly reaches terminal velocity, and that hits you. It might kill you.
Yeah, and that was what, in that TKO2, we saw one kid get hit right in the back of the leg, right in the calf. And then, so when we showed up for the final, we were able to ride our dirt bikes out there. The people were everywhere in the course.
In the line.
On the hill.
On the hill climb.
And we had to kind of be a pain in the rear and get people off the course. I mean, and like I said, it's more of a liability thing from the promoter's aspect.
Right. Well, and we don't want to see somebody get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, unfortunately, in the prologue on... Was it Friday? I think it was Friday.
I think it was Friday.
No, Craig, I don't think Craig and them came down until Saturday.
Okay.
It was Saturday.
Okay.
Well, no, you were just hanging out, though.
Because
you, long story short, one of our local guys, Craig Tefteller, his daughter and him were standing there. She was right beside this creek.
She was out of the trail. She was behind the ribbon.
And a guy looped it out. The bike landed on her, sent her to the hospital, broke her pelvis in two places. I think a concussion. She couldn't stop throwing up. Had to spend the night in the hospital. It was just horrible. So we're thinking about you. I do not know her name, but Craig Tefteller's daughter.
Craig's daughter. That sucks. Yeah, so anyways.
We want that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it, bad for the event, bad for everything.
Exactly. So we got most of the people off the hill. Some people still wouldn't move.
No, they would not move.
And then it was like, seriously, the race is starting any second.
Yeah.
We hear the horn go off.
Here they come.
Yeah. And I think it might have been Manny.
It was Manny.
Manny, Billy.
Yep.
Tristan.
Yep.
And, I mean, they came by, like, all 15 of them right together. It was cool.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy. So I watched some of Manny's helmet cam, and he had the lead really good until the creek on the way back, after the hill, on the creek on the way back that we went down. I don't know what he was doing. Billy went by and looked like a gear higher. And so he passed him technically on the first lap to get the lead.
Okay. And I guess they traded the lead several times throughout the race.
Yeah, absolutely they did.
And we saw the lead switch at least once.
Yeah, and then, well, the final lap, I mean, it was exciting. So where we were at, they came by us, went up into...
Manny had the lead.
They go up into this huge rock garden.
A good, probably 5 bike length lead.
Yeah, or more.
Yep.
But they go out of sight for us, so we don't know what's going on.
Right.
We didn't hear any yelling. Well, Manny comes back into sight.
He's got a big lead.
He drops down into this hole right before the hill climb that we thought was going to be the difference, and he stops.
Apparently, what I heard, and you may know better, I heard that he put his foot down, and then a rock pinned his foot to the bottom of his foot peg.
So, when he compressed suspension, his foot peg went up and under a rock.
Okay.
And then it was under there, and he couldn't get his foot on anything to push it down to get it out. And he kind of had him pinned on the right side. So it was the bike, his leg, and the rock. And his foot, he couldn't get his foot out to push or
do anything. He was literally just leaning against a rock. It looked like he was sitting there resting.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see some of Paul Bolton's helmet cam. He was right there, and then after, so Billy passes him, the crowd goes crazy.
Bananas.
Horns going off, people screaming. Billy clears the hill. Manny goes right behind him, and then we don't know. They're out of sight for us. But Paul Bolton went back and was showing kind of what was. And we couldn't see it. It was on the other side of the rock. And we found out later that's what happened.
Yeah. And I guess they battled all the way back to the Enduro Cross course.
It was, I won't call it a photo finish, but it was close. Billy whipped it off the little last jump. And then Manny did the same thing.
It crashed.
Did not come back and crashed through the banner. And, you know, I wondered because when we got back, he was covered. He was covered in mud. And I'm like, what happened? They said he crashed at the finish. And, you know, of course, we've seen videos of it now. But it was.
Yeah.
It was wild. So then, do we want to put Billy's interview in now? We'll talk about it.
We can throw that in right now.
All right. Hey guys, Drew Kirby here with American Hard Enduro. We're here with the winner of the 2021 Red Bull Tennessee Knockout, Billy Bolt. Billy, how was it as you're taking off your knee braces? Sorry to catch you at a great time.
So there's never a bad time, don't worry. Fuck, it's tough out there. Not a lot else you can say, really. Hot, sweaty, intense, and it's a long day, to be honest. Like, 2 1-hour races, heart rate all the way up, all the way back down, all the way up again, and then the final hardest, most intense, most technical race right at the end. It's a hard day. Might seem like a 35-minute race, but hard work, I can tell you that for nothing. But no, it was good. I made it difficult for myself, I won't lie. I had a good gap and then didn't do my pipe. So I made the hill hard work and then one a stupid crash. It twisted the front end up, so I had to stop and bang it against the tree and got it somewhat straight. So yeah, I really did make hard work for myself, but you know, really, really happy to get the job done.
Well, we were right there at the big hill climb in the Red Bull Ravine. You guys went back and forth a couple times. Manny was in the lead on the last lap. We thought the hill climb was going to be the difference. And then he got hung up in like a rock area. You made the pass. And anything exciting from there, or did you just bring it on home?
I made the pass just before the hill. I seen he was stuck and just sent it down the side of him. And then, yeah.
Is that your bike?
That's my bike.
Holy cow. They are using a sledgehammer and I don't know what, some kind of pry bar to try to get the pipe. Hey, we go. Oh, my gosh. Hey, can I have that?
It's coming home.
Oh, man.
That's why we needed to get it back off Colin's bike. It needs to come back. That's coming back to England and going on the wall.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, I really made, passed Manny and just pray to God I made the hill that lap because I knew I was faster in the river just after it. That was where I was pulling a lot of time back. So, thankfully, made the hill when it count after I'd messed it up the 3 or 4 laps before that. So, thankfully, made it count on the last lap. Got up to the top and just brought it on home. Super. Well,
so, looking at that pipe, how in the world did you do it that bad? What did you get into? Did you just crack a rock or did you go down?
No, I didn't even go down, just cracked a rock. It, like, mid-corner, super hard, so I was kind of sat leaning into it and the pipe just got smoked and was...
We're looking at this thing, and I'll post a picture. I've never seen anything like that. And my TPI bike doesn't like a smash pipe. So, Billy, congratulations. Thank you for coming. What's next for you?
Head home, actually. Relatively chilled couple of weeks. And then we got Poland, I think, in a month's time, next round of the championship. So, a couple of weeks west, and then we'll get back to work probably in a week's time, working towards Poland, and then Hispania in Spain after that.
All right. Well, hey, and if you guys, he has a sweet vlog. It's Billy's YouTube channel on YouTube, obviously. Check it out. Thank you, Billy.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. So that was the interview with Billy Bolt following the final.
Well, and it was really interesting because we did not know anything he talked about. We had no idea about his pipe. And
it was so smashed.
As you heard in there, they're taking a sledgehammer to beat the thing off. And I was wanting it. And they were like, this baby's going back.
Right.
And he signed it and his mechanic was taking it home.
So Billy Bolt ended up winning. This is the final results. Manuel Lettenbeckler, he got second. So and it's interesting looking at their best lap. Billy's best lap was a 5:51.
Whoa.
Manny's best lap was a 6:04.
Billy put it on somewhere.
Yeah. Tristan Hart, he got third.
What was his best lap?
6:14. And then
what was Manny's best lap?
Manny's was a 6:04.
Okay.
And then Tristan and Wade.
It was getting close.
Yeah, they kind of battled all day. And Wade's best lap was also a 6:14.
Okay. And it was interesting. So, again, when they come by us, there was a lot of stuff they did after they came by us and they came out by. Wade was on his rear tire. And then when they came back into view, Tristan must have cleaned something up on the way back there, and Wade didn't.
So Mario Roman got fifth. His best lap was a 6:27.
Wow.
But Alfredo Gomez, who got sixth, his best lap was a 6:14.
Mm.
So Alfredo must have had some trouble.
Well, and Alfredo had been in front of Mario most of the race.
Alfredo was coming in with some injuries from what I heard, too.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, I think I heard that on the Seat Times podcast. Johnny Walker got seventh, and him and Cody kind of had a good battle.
Cody had the lead.
All day, not just the final.
Yeah, Cody had the lead in front of us on the last hill over Johnny. Didn't make it, had to take the bailout, came back down. Johnny cleaned it, and there it was.
Bummer. Ryan LeBlanc, top 10, ninth place.
Yeah, and he came through, and he might have been 14th place the first time he came through.
Yeah,
and he was buried.
He was charging, though.
Yeah, he was revving the whole time trying to get around people.
I wish it showed all their lap times.
Is it not shown?
No, we just got total time, difference, number of laps, best lap.
Gotcha. That would be cool to see the progression of their laps.
Well, Ryder's best lap was the fourth lap, where most of the riders, their best lap was earlier on. Johnny's best lap was his fifth lap. Interesting.
Yeah, definitely interesting. How many was it, five laps? Isn't that what they ended up doing?
They did six.
You think they would have gotten – their laps would have gotten faster once they got spread out and they could kind of go the way they wanted to?
Yeah, but man
– getting used to – which you're also getting tired, I guess.
I think you're on like survival mode pretty quick. Dude,
they were, covered, sweating. I was down there that interview with Billy. He was still pouring sweat. And that's what – you heard in the interview. It wasn't anything extremely difficult, but you were pushing and working the whole time. And the
it was intense. Like, I think intense is the right word.
Yeah.
Teodoro Kavachev got 10th. Jordan Ashburn got 11th.
Matched his finish from last year on the old KDX.
And Teodoro was the last guy that finished on the lead lap. Jordan got lapped.
I thought Jordan said he was proud not to get lapped. Oh, he did. Well, he got up the hill before Billy and Manny.
Yes, he did.
So
they must have passed him.
Yeah, he could have had trouble in that last creek.
I don't know. If I get up that hill before them and I haven't been lapped yet, I think I'll let him go by just so I don't have to make an additional lap.
Oh, you know what? He did say he was planning on pulling over at the finish. It's
good plan.
Yeah. Don't want to do another one of those. It was lonely out there on that last lap.
Yeah, Michael Wachner, 12th. Will Reardon, 13th. Nick Faringer, 14th. And Corey Grafunder, 15th. And no one got lapped more than once. So
that's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, and a big name you're not saying on there, Tadej Bozusiak.
Right.
And I don't know if anyone's seen the video. His shoulder popped out twice in TKO2, and there's one of it popping out right as Ryder's coming up to pass him, and it looks like Ryder just sticks his foot out and kicks him over.
I'm going with that.
Yeah, let's go with that. But turns out his shoulder popped out and he fell over.
Yeah, we're not laughing at Taddy. It sucks to have one of those injuries. It's nagging like that. But
Well, and once it starts popping out.
And everybody wanted to see him in the final.
Oh, yeah. Well, after what he did in the straight rhythm prologue.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But, man, it was exciting. It was awesome to have all those guys here. I mean, the level this whole year on the AMA East, is the ones we've gone to. It seemed like Tristan and Cody were just a step above everyone. Ryder's coming on. Colton's coming on or there. But seeing these guys in person, how big Billy Bolt was, how big Manny was, like physically imposing. they're on another level.
None of those top guys are small.
No.
They're not short like us.
No, I mean, they just, man, they got it. They're good.
Yeah. That's it.
No way. That can't be it. I mean, what was your best part of the weekend? I mean.
Well, and I was going to kind of follow up with, after the race, Drew and I were smoked just from running around. I mean, Drew announced 99% of the final. I did a little bit, but
it was exciting.
I was trying to feed Drew information. But after the race, running around, like, all the riders were getting interviewed. There was a lot of media. There was Red Bull. There was Seat Time. There was
Rob Mitchell.
They were Dirt Rider. Just maybe they were there. I don't know.
Well, yeah, Brandon.
On the pegs.
I can't think of Brandon. Brandon Krause. He's working for Dirt Rider, I think, doing some stuff. Well, the other thing I was going to say, I only got Billy Bolt interviewed. I couldn't find Tristan. I couldn't find Manny. Red Bull had them doing something afterwards until late.
And I was going to say that we just kind of gave up on getting interviews because it's like, leave those guys alone. I mean, I talked to Wade Young for a while. I talked to Cody Webb for a while. I talked to Mitch Carvel for a while. I just wasn't interested in interviewing them because they've been interviewed so many times.
Yeah, there was, I mean, I guess with the bigger stage comes a lot more media, which is great.
Normally we're the only ones doing interviews.
Yeah, normally we're the only ones running around, but no, it was awesome to see those guys, see the factory support, see as many people came out. Thank you for everyone that bought shirts.
And I told Will,
I totally blanked and didn't ask Billy Bolt or any of those guys for the jerseys. I thought it would have made a heck of a giveaway thinking back on it.
I know, and I wish, well, hindsight's 2020. We should have got an American Hard Enduro shirt signed by all those guys and given it away, but whatever.
I know. I would have loved to have done something. Send us a picture with you and your American Hard Enduro shirt for a chance to win the jersey.
Okay, so one of my favorite moments, possibly my favorite moment of the weekend, I was up near the Enduro Cross Track after the awards, and the head of the FIM, do you know his name?
I do not, but I know who you're talking about.
Tall, blonde.
Yeah, I'm always wearing a white shirt.
Gray-headed, blonde-headed dude.
Has way more hair than me.
He comes up to me, and he grabs me by the shoulder, and he says, I bought one of your shirts. And I was like, okay, awesome. And he's like, I insisted on paying, because my wife was trying to give it to him. He was like, no, I insisted on paying. He's like, I love what you guys are doing. He's like, the scene here is amazing. He had nothing but glowing things to say about TKO and the whole American Hard Enduro scene. I say that with, you know, quotations.
Quotes, yeah.
But super cool to get some positive comments from that guy.
Well, and it was awesome. I mean, and that's the whole goal of American Hard Enduro was to grow the sport. And I'm not going to say we have any credit in how much TKO's grown, but we've got a AMA Points Paying Series now, which was the goal. A regional championship this year, which is the goal. Maybe a national championship. We don't know what's coming
hopefully
next year.
Hopefully in the near future.
Yeah. So, it's awesome. We got a lot more good races. I think Josh helping with TKO helped. So Josh Shecker was down there for a week helping Eric Bernard, helping Sean Finley. And thank you to those guys. Thank you to Red Bull.
And Eric Kudla does a lot. I mean, he was on the mic. He was giving out awards. He does a great job.
Yeah. So it was a team effort. But no, it was awesome. I'm bummed. I mean, like I said, we did Battle of the Goats.
It's bittersweet for me.
Yeah, well, I had a week off work, and now TKO's over, and it's like, oh, the letdown is hard right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have two more SEER races, which I honestly was thinking the whole time I was riding TKO, like, that SEER race we did there, the cliffhanger, it had all fresh single track.
I can't wait for the cliffhanger SEER race.
September 25th. So I'm going to miss Saddleback, which is September 4th, unfortunately.
Looks like I'm missing it as well.
You're missing it. Why are you missing it?
Oh, man.
Life. Got to do some family stuff, which I'm with you. I've got a wedding. But now I'm looking forward to TTC, the SEER finale. Cody Webb showed up last year. Jordan Ashford showed up last year. I'm sure Ryder's going to be there this year.
Yep. Nick, Quinn.
Yep, all those guys. So, man, it's been a fun year. I can't believe it's over and it's August 18th. I'm bummed.
Well, and we got Endurocross, so I'm sure we'll talk about Endurocross. We'll have some Endurocross podcasts, possibly.
Yeah, we can recap in a little bit. Maybe we can get some interviews with the guys, see what happens. But unfortunately, I mean, it's not really our thing, and most of them are from Amarillo, Texas, east. Oh, wait, west. Other west. Direction. So we will not be attending any, unfortunately. This could be a bummer. Like, we've been hanging out with, you know, seeing the DeLulos, I've been having fun hanging out with Will Reardon's dad, Paul.
The Davises.
The Davises, like, it's just, oh, man, it's bummed. You know, we're not going to see everyone for a while.
Yeah, that's all right, though. It should be the easiest bike cleanup ever following TKO. I mean, leaf blower?
Yeah, well, I had, so I'll let the Red Bull guys and Eric Bernard borrow my other bike for the week. They put like 3 or 4 hours on it. I was getting ready to unload it. I had the trailer open. There's not a speck of mud on the thing. Like, it's clean.
Did they clean it?
No, I don't think they cleaned it. Like, that's every funny. Time I saw it through the weekend, it looked good.
Nice.
So, but no, it was a fun weekend, guys. Thank you for everyone who bought a shirt, supports us, you listen to this.
Heck yeah. Give us a comment on Apple Podcast. Give us a review, hopefully a 5-star review, if you like it.
And again, I know we always say this, but if there's anything you guys want us to do more of, or, you know, interviews, long-form interviews, you know, once things slow down in the winter, you know, we will have some time on our hands. We can figure something out.
Yeah, it's going to take me a minute to get bored, but it will eventually happen.
Oh, man, I've got a rental house that's destroyed, so I'm going to be busy for a while.
All right, well, that was awesome. Hope everybody enjoyed TKO, Battle of the Goats, the whole AMA Extreme Series.
AMA Grand National Championship, Red Bull TKO,
Hard Enduro. All that.
Thank you guys for
Kenda,
listening. We all had Kenda was there. Sherco. Well, I was surprised at how much Kenda's always been the title sponsor of TKO. I mean, they had one Kenda banner, but it was nowhere in any of a lot of the logo and branding I saw. They had new shirts this year, new logo this year, which was cool.
Yeah, Moose. So, they do a big part. Moose,
absolutely. So, all right, I think that's it. I'm good. Thanks for listening.
All right, see you on the trail.